the Antoinette system and tune in to the Pearl White system at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 8th of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, I've got a bit of a sad story to start the week with, a bit of a shocking story here. The teenage daughter of French populist leader Marine Le Pen has been violently assaulted outside a bowling alley in Nanterre, in France, forcing her to be taken to a local hospital in the area. And Marine Le Pen, obviously she was leading the Front National, and they've recently changed the name of the organisation to the National Rally. But this is something that I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. So these attacks on the family members of nationalists, whether they are just supporters of groups like UKIP, or whether they're actually members, politicians, actual people that speak up, even for the Conservative Party. Recently, we had Jacob Rees-Mogg. His children were barracked on the doorstep by Antifa, by anarchists. And we've had children in schools that have been given detentions just because their father is a member of the Conservative Party, and singled out so that the other children can bully them. And now what we've got here is a young teenage girl has been violently assaulted, and it's politically motivated. This is because Marine Le Pen is a nationalist and speaks up for the French people. The attack on the 19-year-old took place at the exit of a bowling alley bar at Nelson Mandela Square on Thursday night, while she and her 18-year-old cousin were leaving the bar. I mean, that just sounds like it could be out of a soap opera, doesn't it? Nelson Mandela Square. The guy was a terrorist. He was responsible for murdering white people. He was in prison for being a terrorist, and he point-blank refused to renounce violence. That's why he was held in prison. And we now name squares after the guy. Could there be any bigger indication that we are not ruled by our own people? We're ruled by traitors, and we're ruled by a foreign occupying force. We're ruled by Jews, Muslims, and traitors. They are the privileged members of our society. They are the people that we are unable to criticize, as Voltaire said, to realize who it is that rules over you. Just work out who it is that you cannot criticize. Anyway, this young lady, she was attacked at outside this bowling alley. Two men, aged 32 and 47 from Nanterre, approached the two and physically assaulted them at around 2 a.m., La Parisienne reports. And we don't have any information on the race, but I suspect they probably weren't white. I mean, this was obviously politically motivated. After the police were called, the two suspects were arrested at the scene when officers arrived at the bar. Investigators have so far not commented on the cause of the attack, but the cousin of Miss Le Pen's daughter has filed charges with police against the two men. The incident provoked outrage from the former French presidential candidate, who called the attack a gratuitous aggression and added there was no fight, there was an assault, a gratuitous attack on two young people aged 18 and 19. But this is not inevitable. This, I believe, the consequence of political choices that have been made for a number of years, she continued, saying her daughter was in a state of shock about the attack, but that she was relieved the incident was not more serious. So what she could be saying there is that, well, yes, actually, these people that attacked her were non-white, because she's saying that it just is the consequence of a political choice, and this was not inevitable. And if there were no non-whites in our countries, then none of these attacks could take place. Hundreds, possibly hundreds of thousands of white people would still be alive and not raped if we didn't have non-whites in our countries. When you think of the number of crimes that go on, that are carried out by these foreigners against us, it's just horrendous. And you think every single one of those crimes need not have happened. The only reason why they were permitted to happen is through the traitors in power that imported these creatures into our countries. And Marine Le Pen, for speaking up about that, she herself is now a target. And not just her, but her family members are targets. Supporters and allies of Miss Le Pen also expressed outrage. Debout La France leader Nicolas Dupont-Aignan, who campaigned with Le Pen last year, wrote on Twitter, "I am learning with disgust of the aggression against the daughter of Marine Le Pen. What shame to go after the children for the ideas of their parents. How far are they going?" So that there gives us another little bit of insight into the story there. That confirms that the reason why this young girl was attacked is because her mother was Marine Le Pen. That's the reason why, because they don't like the politics of Marine Le Pen. They shouldn't even be in the country anyway. They're not French. And they've decided to physically attack her daughter, violently attack her daughter, it says here. I mean, this wasn't just a bit of shoving. This was a violent attack. Physical attacks on populist politicians and their supporters are nothing new, but attacks on their families are rare. Well, I think that's something that we're probably going to see increasing. As I say, just with the attacks on the children of Jacob Rees-Mogg recently, it seems that the days when there was a sense of honour about this and you wouldn't go after somebody's family are now gone. And we know that one of the reasons why the left try to dox nationalists is so that they can try to turn their families against them. And they will tell their families what horrible, nasty racists their family member is and how can they have anything to do with them. And they've progressed from that now to actually violently attacking people. I don't know what these savages hope to achieve by doing this. It's not likely to make Marine Le Pen give up being a politician. It's probably more likely to make her double down and be all the more determined to free her country of the invaders. In Germany, the anti-mass migration Alternative for Germany has seen many attacks on its members, including their cars being set on fire. And this is just terrorism, basically, isn't it? There's a political motive behind it. Any act of violence that is politically motivated is terrorism. So these two suspects that did this, they should really be accused of terrorism. Of course, they won't be. They won't be because it was against nationalists. And none of the left that engage in terrorism are ever accused of being terrorists for doing so. That's why we say that they have tacit support from the government for what they do. They claim to be the alternative. They claim to be standing against what the government stands for. But in actual fact, they have the tacit backing of the government. The government never throws the book at them. Recently, or a couple of years back, there was all that trouble at Dover between Antifa and anarchists and between nationalists, and all the nationalists were jailed and the anarchists were all let off. These left-wing anarchists, they also have rich lawyers that are prepared to work for free, and lawyers that are paid for by people such as George Soros, and we don't have any lawyers to speak for us. These cars being set on fire, the Alternative for Germany, we've had similar things happening in Italy. There's been a bomb that was set off at the headquarters of the League, the Lega Nord, the League of the North. Their headquarters were blown up. We've also had a right-wing bookshop, I believe that was in Spain, That was blown up when the BNP had a bookshop in Britain that had to have all these special protections outside of it. Metal grills on the windows, concrete bollards outside, great big thick steel door to prevent people from getting in. And as you actually get in, you had to go all the way around the back, and there was all this barbed wire, razor wire fencing, and secret entrances just to get into the bookshop. So determined were the left to destroy the property. In actual fact, at one instance, there were about 200 people outside and they were going to firebomb the place. And the only reason why that was actually stopped is because there was a secret police informer that was actually inside the bookshop at the time. And I talked about that with Max Musson on Aryan Britannia a while back. So these actual physical attacks on nationalists and nationalist politicians, they are increasing. We've also had a Brazilian politician, a right-wing politician. He's not a nationalist, but he is right-wing. And he was stabbed a couple of weeks back. And now they're going after the family members as well. Surely any member of the public that is not politically minded is going to be questioning this and saying, just what sort of countries are we living in where politicians are now being physically attacked? Not politicians that actually have any power or actually have any say, but just politicians that are speaking up for their own countries. This is the disconnect. How anybody can be against nationalism when nationalists are speaking up for you. The only people that speak up for the nation are the nationalists. So for anyone to be against the nationalist party that represents their people, they've got to have a screw loose. Either that or they've been through an incredible amount of brainwashing. You think of just how much it would take to turn somebody from having that basic natural understanding that people that claim to be British nationalists, say, are speaking up for the British people, to actually turn them against the very people that are speaking up for them. That takes a lot. That takes a lot of pressure. And if we weren't to actually live in the world the way that it is, you'd probably say, well, that's impossible. How could you get somebody to turn against the only people that are speaking up for them? But our enemies have managed to do that. They have managed to do that. Well, the next story that I've got for us today, this actually comes from Germany. We've got quite a multinational Daily Nationalist for you today. A poetry competition has been hit by controversy after the daughter of Nationalist Party Alternative for Germany's politician took part. 14-year-old Ida Marie Müller, daughter of Nicole Hoxt, performed a poem widely condemned as racist in front of an audience of 100 spectators in Speyer, southwestern Germany. Now, this is a report from the BBC that I've got here. So who is it that's actually condemning this poem as racist? It doesn't actually say here. It says it's been widely condemned as racist, but apparently everybody there cheered. The poem included a reference to a stabbing carried out by an immigrant. Well, how is that racist? I mean, how many stabbings are there that are carried out by immigrants? It happens regularly, just about daily there's a stabbing in Germany that's carried out by an immigrant. This is just a commentary on real life. The poem included a reference to a stabbing carried out by an immigrant, and despite the girl receiving the loudest applause, organisers disqualified her. This is what I mean. How can the BBC say that this poem was widely condemned as racist when the girl received the loudest applause in the building? And it was depending on who got the loudest applause, who was going to win. So she actually had her prize stolen from her. She should have won because her poem was the best, and yet the organisers disqualified her. It says here, AfD is an anti-immigration party that entered parliament in Germany for the first time in 2017, winning 12.6 of the vote and more than 90 seats. And they're actually the second most popular party in Germany now, according to the polls. They are the official opposition. That's second only to Merkel's coalition. Merkel's coalition, which is more than one party, and the AfD is now the official opposition to them. The competition was part of an anti-racism initiative for teenagers, hosted by the Spire Youth Council, reports the Younger Freiheit newspaper. Again, well, this is very encouraging, isn't it? I mean, the people there were there for anti-racism. They were all anti-racism supporters. And yet the poem that was pointing out stabbings by immigrants, by the daughter of a nationalist politician, that was the poem that got the most applause. I mean, that's really good. This young girl has managed to change the opinions of the people that were at this competition. She's managed to turn them around so that instead of being pro-invasion, they're actually supporting the anti-invasion poem. When another participant was announced as the winner, some members of the audience responded with loud jeers. So this hasn't been widely condemned at all. This poem has actually been widely supported at the competition. The fact that she had a prize stolen from her and it was awarded to somebody else really annoyed the audience as well. They obviously had a sense of justice. Ms. Mueller, was not allowed to attend the award ceremony and was later accused by Mayor Monica Cabbs from the Christian Democrats CDU party of using the poetry slam as a platform for the AFD. Well, what was the mayor using the poetry slam for? She was obviously using it as a platform to be anti-AFD, be calling it anti-racist, because she's obviously claiming that the Alternative for Deutschland party are a racist party. Her mother posted messages of support for her daughter on social media, but also shared pictures of the outside of her house, which has been sprayed with anti-AFD graffiti. So these anarchists, again, they've been destroying property with a political motive. Again, that's terrorism. It doesn't actually have to be violence against people. Violence against property is also defined as terrorism if there is a political motive behind it. And of course, there is a political motive behind this. It's people that want to shut down the AFD. Now, this mother that posted these messages of support, she said, "Modern Nazis smear other people's houses." She's obviously using the phrase Nazis there in the same way that the left use it, just using it as a nasty name to call people, because obviously the National Socialists didn't spray graffiti anywhere. The National Socialists were about improving morals, not damaging and vandalizing public property. The 14-year-old's poem included lyrics such as, "From far away, the man fell into the hands of traffickers with no passport and a mobile phone. He arrived on our hallowed German land. Because he can't get a lady, he helped himself to one with a knife." Obviously, that loses a little in translation there, but you get the drift of what was being said there. That even though the Germans have been very friendly to these people, these savages just steal the women off our streets. And I do think we can blame pornography for this quite a lot, because a lot of these non-whites, the only white women they have ever seen before are white women in pornography. Their countries are being flooded with porn, and they have this opinion of white women that they're all slags, because in their countries, a woman has to have a husband. If a woman doesn't have a husband, then she's fair game. You won't find any cases being brought against black males in certain areas of Africa for rape, because they see it as it's the woman's own fault if she gets raped. She shouldn't have been out unaccompanied by a man. And when they see the white women in the Western countries, they just think that they're all whores or prostitutes, that they're all looking for a man because they haven't got one with them. They haven't got a husband with them. So they're all free and looking for a man and asking for it. That's the way that these barbarians think. That's why they just take what they want. And they're being encouraged in this as well, because when they're going to the courts, a lot of the time you will find that the judges over there, particularly in Germany, will say that there was a cultural difference, and the invader, he wasn't to know that the woman was saying that she didn't want to be raped. How is he to know that the woman wasn't consenting? And they've even had a case that happened in Austria of a 10-year-old boy that was raped, and by an Iraqi, I believe it was, and he was given something like 7 years, and then it was reduced by 5 years on appeal because he said that he because he came from a different culture, he didn't know that the boy didn't want to be raped. He didn't know that the boy was actually saying no. And if you are a quote-unquote refugee and you come to this country and you see that these crimes go on and they're unpunished, and that the judges are saying, well, it's a different culture, so of course these Negroes couldn't help themselves, they didn't know they're not allowed to rape in Germany, then they're just going to think, well, why not? What's the worst that the German authorities can do? Well, they'll put them in prison. And even in German prisons, they're better off than where they are in living in their dung huts. In Africa, at least in a German prison, they've got a television, they've got food, they've got a roof over their head, and not things that they're actually capable of making for themselves in Africa. So sending them to prison, that's no deterrent. You may say, well, deporting them, well, that's a deterrent. Only they don't actually get deported, do they? They end up appealing and costing the country an absolute fortune in appeals. And of course, if you're a white man and you're looking for legal aid, you won't actually get it. But if you are a non-white invader and you've been told you're going to be deported, then you have to have your appeal heard, and you get the legal aid, and it's all paid for. That's the case in Britain. I'm sure it's probably the same in Germany. Continuing with this story here, tensions have been running high in the country since a German man was killed, allegedly by two migrants, in August near the eastern city of Chemnitz. Well, tensions have been rising high since 2015, when Merkel opened the borders to everyone and said anyone from the Middle East and Africa can come to Germany and will be welcomed. Tensions have been running high since then because there's been stabbings, rapes, murders, all sorts going on. Even the daughter of an EU politician was raped and murdered. Plenty of even the children, the so-called children, the refugee children that have been placed with families have ended up going on stabbing sprees with an axe. And we had one over here in Britain that tried to set a bomb off on a train. That's what's causing these tensions. The BBC would like it to appear that the tensions are actually caused by the nationalists, though. They say his death led to demonstrations by right-wing extremists. Earlier this week, 6 men were arrested in Chemnitz on suspicion of being part of a far-right military group planning attacks on foreigners, politicians, and civil servants. So the story here ends with the fact that nationalists have been arrested, and they were supposedly planning attacks. Now, we know that because they're now classifying nationalists as terrorists, these attacks were probably verbal attacks that were planned. Verbal attacks had probably been planned on politicians and civil servants, i.e. people had probably been planning to have a demonstration and talk about what's going on in Germany. It's the same as over here when in Britain, when they arrest people that they're accused of being national action, they say preparing terrorist acts. And what they mean is had printed off a load of stickers. And because National Action are determined to be a terrorist organisation, any stickers that look similar to National Action ones, that's a terrorist act, printing them off. It's a real dirty double language that they're using here. Moving on to the final story that I've got for you today, and we're going to head over to Italy for this one. Italy's League, under Matteo Salvini, is now the most popular political party in the nation, with a voter affiliation of 33.8%, a nationwide electoral poll revealed on Saturday. Isn't it interesting? When nationalists do actually get into power, their popularity just rises and rises and rises and continues to rise. I mean, this is really good news. It's the same as in Hungary, Viktor Orban. If you look at the rise of Viktor Orban, you know, as soon as he starts enacting nationalist policies, his popularity goes through the roof. He's got over 50% of the population voted for Viktor Orban in the last polls over there in Hungary. They just keep increasing. I think Donald Trump has an approval rating of about 50%. The media will continue to attack nationalists and make out they're terrible people, and yet whenever they get into power, they are loved by the people. I can remember when I was young, and they used to watch the television, and they would show these Middle East people like Colonel Gaddafi and Bashar al-Assad, and they would mock these Middle Eastern leaders because the population would be holding up their faces on placards, and the BBC would mock them and say, oh, well, they've been forced to hold up the face of Colonel Gaddafi. But when you actually look at what Colonel Gaddafi did, the people genuinely loved him. Of course they loved him, because he was a nationalist. He was a Libyan nationalist doing his best for the Libyans. Of course, when you look at the pictures of Hitler, they would say the same. They would say, oh, these people have been encouraged to be like this. But no, the people genuinely loved Adolf Hitler because of all the wonderful things that he'd done for his country. And we're now seeing this happening again now with Matteo Salvini. He's doing great things for Italy, so, and the nation really approve of that. They love him for that. If you compare 33.8% support for Matteo Salvini with the approval rating for Theresa May, which is way into the negative, it's something like minus 32. There's just no comparison. And yet still the mainstream media attacks nationalists. This monthly survey was conducted by the IPSOS Ipsos Research Group, which inquired about citizens' voting intentions, which showed the Five Star Movement, the League's partner in the current coalition government, falling by 1.5 percentage points over the last month to 28.5%. This figure represents a 3 percentage point drop for M5S from mid-July and a widening gap between the two governing partners. This is interesting. The right-wing part of the coalition is improving in their figures, 33.8%, and the Five Star Movement are now down to 28.5%. Don't forget, when the election came about, it was the Five Star Movement that was slightly in the lead. And they ended up forming this coalition with the League, and the League were like junior partners in the coalition. And yet now it's the League that have the most support among the Italian public. Observers suggest that the solid performance of the League is due in large part to the constant media presence of party chief Matteo Salvini, Italy's interior minister and deputy prime minister. Salvini has persistently sought to rein in Italy's illegal immigration problem and has stood up against the globalist leaders such as France's Emmanuel Macron. So that's what the people want. The people don't want any immigration at all. And the fact that he is standing against it, bravely standing against it, and refusing to back down in the face of blackmail from the European Union, that is what the people want to see. The people are clearly showing their support for that. Overall approval ratings of the coalition government and of the prime minister remain very high, with a rating of 64 for the government and an impressive 67% for Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. Nationalism is popular. I mean, this is why it's called populism, because it's popular. It's popular among the people. And democracy is supposed to be rule by whoever is the most popular. That's what democracy is, isn't it? When you think about it, it's whoever is the most popular, whoever gets the most votes. And yet we're told that populism is a bad thing. It's a bad thing to be popular. Yet when it's, say, the Labour Party and the Labour Party win an election, they don't call them populists. They don't say, oh, the Labour Party are terrible because they're popular. People like them and they voted them in. They cheer them on. You only get called a populist if you happen to be nationalist. It's a big joke, this democracy scam, where they claim that nationalists and populist parties are a threat to democracy. They certainly aren't. If they actually get anywhere, they are proof that democracy works. But, of course, they don't want to allow them to get anywhere. And most of the time, you will find that the left-wing parties will team up to keep the nationalist party out of power. That's what is so good about what happened in Italy, where you had a left-wing party, the Five Star Movement, you had them going into coalition with the right-wing party, the League. It was just really inspirational when that happened, and it's good to see that they are still working together. They're not indulging in dirty tricks, and they're proving to be massively popular among the Italian people. Anyway, that brings us to the end of today's podcast. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.